Hello and welcome to this British Journal of Surgery podcast. I'm Wendy Barnaby and today I'll be talking to Dr. Janine van Ness from the Leiden University Medical Center in the Netherlands and Mr. Malcolm Kell, a consultant at the Mater Hospital in Dublin and with the Breast Check screening program. Janine is a co-author of an article in the May issue of the BJS. It's called Variations in Loco-Regional Therapy in Postmenopausal Patients with Early Breast Cancer Treated in Different Countries. And the results it reports are part of the larger ongoing TEAM trial, that is the Tamoxifen Exemestane Adjuvant Multinational Trial, which is evaluating the efficacy and safety of exemestane alone or following tamoxifen for early stage breast cancer. But the study we'll be talking about now compares the way early-stage breast cancer in postmenopausal women is treated in different countries. So, first of all, Janine, can you summarize for me what you did and what results you had?
In the TEAM trial, that's a trial with access to endocrine therapies in postmenopausal women, we examined the patterns of care within the local regional treatment of breast cancer. We compared the different TEAM trials. These are the Netherlands, Belgium, Greece, France, Belgium, the UK, Ireland, Japan, and the United States of America. And we found differences in local regional treatment between these countries.
What were the main differences you found?
For a difference in breast century, surgery, for example, if you are a woman in the United States, you've got more chance to receive a mastectomy compared to a woman in France within our study. Women in France are more treated with breast-conserving surgery compared to women in America.
And there were also differences, weren't there, in radiotherapy, who had radiotherapy after surgery, for example?
Yes, that is true. Normally, breast-conserving treatment consists out of breast cancer surgery followed by radiotherapy. That's the international guideline. And in not all countries, patients treated with breast-conserving surgery were receiving radiotherapy. There were quite some differences.
And what about in something like axillary lymph node dissection, which often follows or did when this study was done, surgery for breast cancer. Did that differ too between these countries?
Yes, it's very nice you ask that question because with the axillary lymph node dissection, it's a whole new therapy. It's a sentinel lymph node biopsy, and that was introduced in the last part of the last century and the start of this century, and it was introduced at different time moments between the different TEAM countries. If you've got a positive sentinel lymph node, you will receive an axillary lymph node dissection. However, if it's negative, you won't receive an axillary lymph node dissection, and that can also explain the differences in axillary lymph node dissection rates between the countries.
So that was one explanatory factor. I mean, what other factors, in the end, predicted the type of surgery that that various countries would give?
We analyzed all factors in a multi and in a uni and a multi-site analysis. If you look for surgery, you see that country was a prognostic indicator in the multi-site analysis, like age, tumor status, and calendar year of surgery. Depending on the country, you've got a higher or lower chance to receive a mastectomy or breast-conserving surgery.
And what about factors such as the age at diagnosis, for example? I gather that also played a role.
Yes, that's totally true. Age was also an independent prognostic factor to receive mastectomy or breast-conserving surgery. And we found that if you are younger, you get a lower chance of a breast-conserving surgery than if you are between 50 or 70. So the patients younger than 50 or older than 70 had a lower chance to be treated with breast-conserving surgery if you compare them to patients between 50 and 70 years old.
When you looked at all of these different countries, you found substantial differences in treatment between them, didn't you? What were those main differences?
There were differences in breast surgery rates. For example, patients in America were treated in our trial had a higher chance to receive a mastectomy compared to patients in France. There was also a difference in rates of radiotherapy after breast-conserving surgery or after mastectomy. In Belgium, almost all patients received radiotherapy after a mastectomy, in compared to the Netherlands. More patients didn't receive radiotherapy after a mastectomy. At last, there were also differences in rates of axillary lymph node dissections.
And where were you more likely to have a lymph node dissection?
The different patients who were treated in Belgium or in Greece had the highest chance to receive an axillary lymph node dissection compared to other trials. For example, in the Netherlands, just 75% of patients received an axillary lymph node dissection compared to patients in Greece, where 98% patients received axillary lymph node dissection. One explanation of the difference can be the difference of implementation of the sentinel lymph node biopsy in time.
Yes, because this is a treatment that has been introduced later.
Yes, it was in the Netherlands. It was it started to be performed in the last decade of the last century and the beginning of the century.
So that would mean that you wouldn't need so much of the lymph node dissection.
No, in the 80s of the last century, every person received an axillary lymph node dissection, but because of the introduction of the sentinel lymph node procedure, if you have got a negative sentinel lymph node, you don't need an axillary lymph node dissection. So that means that the rate of axillary lymph node dissection decreased.
Yes, so it is quite nuanced when you get to the local level. So what do you think, Janine, the messages of this study are?
The messages of our study, there are quite some differences in local regional therapy between these countries. Previous research has also shown the same, and it's not time dependent. There are still some differences, and we think it's very important that people are aware of these differences because we've got international guidelines,
which should be followed. You would say
it's a guideline, so yes. But the interpretation of a guideline can also always be different, and it can differ between physicians. So we think that breast cancer team will decrease the differences in interpretation of the guidelines.
Would you point to any particular strengths of this study?
The strength of this sub-analysis is that it's a very large trial. It are almost 10,000 patients, and it is all the patients are treated in hospitals who are participating in trials. And we know that hospitals who are participating in trials are better hospitals in general than hospitals who are not participating in trials. And so therefore we think this is a reflection, and maybe it's even better than a reflection. So that in general, in other hospitals, the differences are even larger.
Yes. Let me turn to Malcolm Kell, because Malcolm, I know that you've got some comments, some criticisms, in fact, of the study. What did you think of the study?
Well, it's a fantastic study in its primary endpoints of looking at the effects of adjuvant aromatase inhibitor exemestane in comparison with tamoxifen. But I think the secondary endpoints which this study have looked at are of historic interest to see looking at really geographic differences in breast cancer treatment across Europe and North America. But as really the study was conducted in the early 2000s, I'm not entirely convinced how relevant that is to modern management, because some of the key features of modern surgical management of breast cancer just aren't addressed because they weren't of key interest at the time frame of the study.
Which elements are those that are you thinking of?
Well, in particular, immediate breast reconstruction is a part of the modern surgical management of breast cancer, and that wasn't at the fore at the time of this study, so it just isn't addressed.
You say breast reconstruction. Is that the same as breast conserving surgery?
No, with breast conserving surgery, avoid doing a mastectomy. So you would just remove part of the breast. So you're doing a lumpectomy. There's a lot of terms which are synonymous: partial mastectomy, lumpectomy. They all mean the same thing.
Right. So when you're talking about reconstruction, what exactly do you mean?
Well, that would be if you had all of the breast tissue removed and have then had a procedure to rebuild the breast at the same time.
So this is something now that happens much more frequently than it did in the early 2000s.
Yes, and most countries that would have a qualitative measure of the management of the breast cancer, that would be one of the things they would measure. They would look at patients who are having mastectomy, and they would look at a portion of those patients that have reconstruction as a qualitative measure of how good the breast cancer treatment is. And that's really one of the things this study would look at, would be to measure these different aspects of rates of radiation, rates of breast-conserving surgery, rates of mastectomy as an overall qualitative indicator of how good the national breast, which is where at the top breast cancer today in these countries.
So breast reconstruction surgery is one doubt that you have. Do you have any, are there any other elements that are really left out because of the time difference?
Well, another key thing, and something that probably affects quality of life more than whether patients were to have a mastectomy or breast-conserving surgery, in management of the axilla. And again, in the time frame of the study, it was a procedure which was used would be sentinel lymph node biopsy, which is a minimally invasive way of assessing the disease in the axilla, of the breast cancer in the axilla. And that just was not something that has been looked at in the study either, for a number of reasons, but mainly because it wasn't predominantly used. And again, that now is a key aspect, really the cornerstone of staging of breast cancer is now sentinel lymph node biopsy. And because that wasn't something that was looked at in the study, again, it's a pity that we don't have that international geographic insight into the use of sentinel node biopsy.
Malcolm, the study does talk about sentinel lymph node biopsy, doesn't it?
Well, it does. They've tried to correlate the number of lymph glands that were removed and if they had a lymph node dissection or not, with suggesting that that might mean that they were having sentinel node biopsy. So they've used a couple of things as a kind of surrogate marker of the potential to have sentinel node biopsy, but it doesn't actually measure sentinel node biopsy.
Right.
So I'd like to get around that question, but unfortunately, just because of the nature of the data that was accrued, they can't answer that question.
So are you convinced then by the messages of this study? I mean, it sounds as though you're not.
Well, they've made a clear message about differences in geographical, and they've certainly said that, and it clearly states that, which is correct, but it's the time frame that they've looked at. It was from the 2001 to 2006, and things have changed and progressed since then. So I think from the time point, it's absolutely what it is, but it's how relevant that is to more or breast cancer management now, because things have changed. And unfortunately, as a breast cancer surgeon, two of the things I'm very interested in would be sentinel node biopsy and how that's going to affect outcome, quality of life and survivorship for patients, and also breast reconstruction. But unfortunately, it just doesn't answer those questions.
Mm. So really, as a clinician, do you feel that you can learn anything from this study?
Well, I think, one thing I think would be potential from any medical legal studies to look back and see what would historically have been appropriate standard of care. And I think this paper certainly gives very useful insight into that as to what would have been the standard of care in that time frame. But I think they can certainly glean that information from the study, yeah, as a historic basis.
Yes, and I mean, what about trying to regularize all these different practices in different countries? After all, there are international guidelines. Do you think that there should be more work done in the different countries to try and get everybody singing from the same hymn sheet?
In an ideal world, and I think on the whole, there are similarities between one of the things the paper discusses in the final segment is between St. Gallen guidelines and ASCO guidelines, St. Gallen being the European guidelines and ASCO being North American. And there certainly are differences, but there are breast conservation, radiation therapy being a standard of care. They talk about the use of post-mastectomy radiation, and clearly there are national and local differences there. The reason there are differences, there just is not a clear consensus agreement internationally. They speak about the use of post-mastectomy radiation in Belgium having a high rate as opposed to other countries. And perhaps in Belgium they're overusing radiation treatment in the post-mastectomy setting. At the same time, there are a number of studies ongoing which may show that there is a huge benefit, or a bigger benefit than we would anticipate with post-mastectomy radiation. So it could be Belgium's right and everyone else is wrong, but we just don't have that definite information yet. Well, the one other thing, perhaps, is, I mean, I think, as I said, the TEAM trial is an excellent study for its primary endpoints. The things which this paper has measured are not the primary endpoints of the study.
Yeah, so what you're saying then, you don't mean to cast aspersions on the larger TEAM trial?
No, it's an excellent study, and the results are very encouraging. But really, this is looking at the surgical and other aspects of management of the patients, which is not a primary endpoint of the study. And also, I mean, any large study where the findings are not the primary endpoints, you'd always be slightly skeptical about what those results are, because it isn't a primary goal of the study to address that.
Well, thank you, Malcolm, very much indeed. Now, Janine, as we hear, Malcolm thinks that the study was of limited use, really, because treatments have moved on since it was done, and so it's not really relevant now. How would you answer that?
He's totally right that treatment has moved on, and another ARN mutase inhibitor trial, it also analyzed differences, and it was already 5 years ago, and there was some difference, and he performed it now with another study 5 years later, and there are still differences. And in breast cancer, treatment always moved on. So he is quite right. Treatment has been moved on, but I don't think that is a limitation of the study, because treatment always will be moving on.
And so you think it's still valuable to look at treatment in a particular period, even though the treatment has moved on since the study was done?
Yes, I think that's still valuable, but it is also very important that if new studies are performed, that they will collect the same items as we did, and you can compare the local regional treatment in another time period. So you can also compare it. Will the difference be smaller than now?
Another thing that Malcolm is critical about is that the data were not collected for this specific study. They were collected as part of the larger TEAM trial, so he says they're not really very good data for this loco-regional study.
He's totally right that this is just a sub-analysis. It's not the primary endpoint. However, all studies have just one primary endpoint and hundreds of secondary endpoints. And if you said it's not good data for secondary endpoints, I think you cannot say that. But in our discussion, we also said that this kind of research, we think it's very important, and we would be very glad if new studies will collect the same items, just the basic patient and treatment characteristics, that we can continue this kind of research.
So what impact do you think that this study should have?
Which impact this study should have? Short is, I think it's a very difficult word, but the impact that this study had, this sub-analysis, is that there are still some differences. Previous studies also examined the patterns of care, and they found difference, and we found them again. So there are still differences. And in the last century, more and more breast cancer team is used into clinical practice, and I think, we think that will be very important in breast cancer treatment, so that the interpretation from national to international guidelines will be more and more the same, because breast cancer isn't one disease, and all the patients are so different, so you really need a team to get the best treatment.
So you really need to make... You need to make local teams of surgeons aware of how their practice differs from the international guidelines to get enable them to have a better overview of what's going on, so that the weakest can become stronger.
Yes and no. It's very difficult to say that the local surgeons in this study didn't follow the national of the international guideline, because you don't have every characteristic of the patients. If someone has a small tumor and she's got a mastectomy, we can think, why? But maybe there's a very thin patient with very small breast, that a small tumor even cannot be treated with breast-conserving surgery. So we don't know every characteristic of the patient, but it is rare that is from alphabet statistical analysis, we found that there are still different if you also if you look to the BMI, body mass index of the patients. And yeah, it's not only the surgeon who do the breast cancer therapy. It's the whole breast cancer team. It's not one single physician. And I don't know in which year, but Dr. Sainsbury from the UK already did examine the impact of a breast cancer team, and he found that if a patient is discussed in a team, the treatment is different in, I think, 43%, and if a patient is treated with a single physician, and the advice of the breast cancer team was more according to the guidelines than from a single physician.
Ah, so your hope would be that every woman could be treated by a team rather than simply a physician.
Yes, that's totally correct.
Janine, just turning for a moment to the team trial, is there any news of that? Are there any more results from the team trial?
Yes, they are. Last year on the National Breast Cancer Meeting in America, the San Antonio Breast Cancer Conference, the data of the 5 years survival were presented, and on that meeting they say there's no switch. Amoxicillin followed by exemestane is equal to 5 years using of exemestane, so there's no difference between a switch or 5 year MTAP inhibitor. And I heard that they now are submitting the manuscript to a journal for publication.
And so there will be more results coming out shortly, you would think?
There are more results coming out shortly of the main trial, but within the main trial we've got separate side studies, like this was a side study, but we've got the bone science study, we've got the breast density, the lifestyle study. Some are already published and some have to be published very soon.
Well, thank you, Janine, very much. There we must leave it. Thank you to Malcolm as well. And thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us again.